Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Welcome to ID the Future. My name is Annika Smith, and today we're discussing a special program put out by PBS and Nova called Judgment Day, Intelligent Design on Trial, a dramatized account of the Dover ID trial. And our guest today, Rob Crowther with the Center for Science and Culture, has a few things to say about that. Rob, thanks for sitting down and talking with us today. So what is this new movie, new program about?
Well, thanks for asking me about this, Annika. It's an important program that we want to highlight for people. On the Dover Intelligent Design Trial, it's published or produced by Nova, the science program on PBS, and it's apparently going to be a two-hour special, which has dramatic reenactments of the actual trial within it, but also includes some interviews with some of the people that were associated with the trial and so on. So they're purporting to tell the story behind the ID trial. They're saying that they're going to tell people the truth. They're presenting it as almost like a journalistic program, as if a fair and balanced summary of what happened with the Dover Intelligent Design Trial.
Okay. Well, PBS hasn't been holding any advanced screenings that I know of. Have you seen the movie?
We have not seen the movie. And as far as I know, you're correct. No one else has seen it either. They may have shared it with some critics or something that we don't know about. We had asked to have a review copy ahead of time, and we were told that there were no review copies available. So I'm assuming that probably most people have not seen it in advance. And what we have seen, though, is the website and the teaching guide that goes with it and a lot of the other kind of ancillary materials that they've prepared to go along with the program. And from that, you can get a very good idea of what it is they're planning to present.
And what is that exactly?
Well, we actually spent some time negotiating with Nova about whether or not we would participate. And this was back in the beginning of 2006. And right after the decision came out, they approached us about being involved in a program at that point in time to look at the case. And so we have a pretty good idea of what's going to be in it. I've talked at length with the director and some of the producers at that time and over the course of many months. And what they are putting out there is, like I said, a dramatic reenactment of many parts of the trial where they'll actually have actors reading from the court transcripts and then interviews with a lot of people that were involved with the trial itself. They had approached us about possibly being interviewed for that and interviewing Michael Behe, one of our senior fellows, and Scott Minnick, another of our senior fellows, both of whom testified in favor of intelligent design on behalf of the defense.
Now, you say you were approached to talk about this. It sounds like they're really going out of their way to give a very thorough and in-depth look at this trial. And I believe I read earlier the producer, Paula Apsel, said in a recent interview that intelligent design, quote, got a fair shake in the trial, and it gets a fair shake in this program, end quote. Do you agree with that statement?
No, I really don't. Most people won't be surprised to hear that, probably. I don't think that the trial gave intelligent design, the theory itself, a fair shake. What was on trial there was not intelligent design. The school board in Dover that was sued for requiring students to hear a statement about intelligent design, those school board members themselves, when asked on TV and asked repeatedly throughout the process of the trial, could not even define what intelligent design was. Many of them couldn't even give a bad definition. I mean, they had no definition at all. They did not know what it was. And I would argue that because of that intelligent design theory, what we are researching and advocating at Discovery Institute, that is not what was on trial there. What was on trial was what the ACLU and the National Center for Science Education and other pro-Darwin organizations put up as intelligent design, what they claim intelligent design is. That's what was being discussed and debated there.
So they're debating a straw man.
Yes, exactly. It was a straw man.
Is that why Paula Apsel also said that, quote, Discovery Institute declined to be interviewed under the normal journalistic conditions, end quote?
Yeah, that's an interesting quote because I'd like to know what normal journalistic conditions were. If she meant isolating people and interrogating them in a room, I don't know where that's a normal journalistic condition. It's not the normal condition that most journalists operate under. Very simply, we were wanting to be involved with this program because we saw it as an opportunity to actually get out our side of the story. In other words, we wanted to be able to have someone on camera to explain what we say intelligent design theory is. What is it that we're doing, and how does that differ from what was discussed at trial? So we thought this was a great chance for us to perhaps be able to get that out. We talked to them for months, and because of some of the situations we've run into in the past with certain journalists, one of the stipulations that we have, one of our policies here, is that every interview we do, we record. We keep our own, you know, transcript and recording of all interviews. So in the past, we have worked with a number of journalists where what we said was sliced and diced, taken out of context. One of probably the best examples was we negotiated for several months with ABC's Nightline. This was probably 6 or 8 months prior to the actual Dover trial. We finally agreed to sit down and do an interview with Nightline, and they agreed to let us record that, which is not unusual. Most places agree to this. We've never had anybody really ever refuse that. And so we did this interview with Nightline with Dr. Stephen Meyer, 2.5 hour long interview. They used a 5 second clip that basically had him purporting to say he believes that the designer is God. And the way they framed everything around it was as if that was his scientific belief. And as you see from the transcript, which is available on our website at discovery.org, the transcript shows and the recording show that's not the way the questions were framed, and that's not the discussion they were having. They took that out of the middle of a sentence where he was speaking and totally misrepresented his view. This is why we always ask that we be allowed to have a recording, our own recording, our own verification of what was said in an interview.
Okay, Rob, but that's Nightline. What about PBS? Aren't they known for their journalistic integrity, approaching things without any sort of bias? Is there any history with PBS that might influence your decision on that?
Well, I think a lot of people will point to a number of things in PBS's past that they've been accused of being biased on. In our experience, specific to this, in 2001, when they produced the Evolution miniseries, which was produced by a number of the same people that are producing this Nova program, They put out a program that we thought had a lot of mistakes in it about evolutionary theory. But more telling than that was a memo that was leaked from PBS itself, actually got out into the public eye, and we reported on it. And it was basically a marketing plan for how they were going to use the Evolution miniseries to influence public policy, to influence elected officials. They were going to manipulate science education policy. They wanted to infiltrate school boards. It was an entire marketing and sort of a manipulative scheme that they laid out in, you know, black and white. You can see that memo on our website. We're going to put it up at traipsingintoevolution.com. And at that page, there will be a number of things that will counter a lot of the misinformation that you will see coming from this PBS special judgment day. So I would advise people to go to traipsingintoevolution.com, and that will help them to get the other point of view on this.
Okay, Rob, what you're talking about is PBS's history of bias. But do you have any concrete proof that this Nova program in particular is coming with an agenda, especially towards children?
Yes, actually we do. Again, this comes right directly from the senior producer, Paula Apsel. She has said very specifically and publicly on the website that she was compelled to make this program. In fact, she said if the decision at the Dover trial had gone the other way, quote, it could have had dire consequences for science education in this country, end quote. So she thinks that if the Dover trial, if Judge Jones had ruled differently, that there would have been dire consequences, dire, totally terrible, calamitous consequences in her mind. Now, that's her view. That's an agenda that she, as the producer, is putting forth. This is why she's compelled to do this. She clearly has an anti-intelligent design bias and point of view. So it's clear that this program has a very clear agenda, that these people were driven. They're sort of preaching a dogmatic Darwin-only viewpoint very anti-intelligent design. There's no way for the program to present fairly any other viewpoint without marginalizing it or completely misrepresenting it. And in all of their materials, their websites, their teaching guides, everything we've seen so far.
Teaching guides.
Yes, there is a teaching guide that accompanies this that's being sent out to schools all over the country. Misrepresents intelligent design. Does not have a decent definition of intelligent design. Doesn't represent what intelligent design advocates are really saying or doing.
Thank you, Rob. For ID the Future, this is Annika Smith broadcasting from the CSC in Seattle. Thanks for listening.
Music on ID the Future comes courtesy of composer Yuri Mamchur. Visit www.yuriproductions.com and check out his latest CD, In the Harbor. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Discovery President is Bruce Chapman. ID the Future Managing Editor is Robert Crowther. And the producer is Keith Bennett. ID the Future and ID Science in the News is copyright Discovery Institute 2006. For more information, visit www.discovery.org or www.idthefuture.com.